We are excited to introduce to you Prophetic Edge, where we are going to be digging into the revelation of God's Word and what it looks like to walk in victory through the Word of God. Whenever God is ready to move in Scripture and bring victory to people, He always brings a fresh edge of revelation. Looking at the local situation that's going on in the world, looking at the global situation, but also the local news and how things are being reported, I'm noticing that even in our world today, there is not really a clear understanding of Israel, Israel's role in Scripture, and how the church is supposed to relate concerning these matters. And I'm understanding that over time, sometimes we forget that biblical view or biblical worldview is supposed to be the Christian's mindset when it comes to national, international, world events. So many times, because of our political leanings or how we perceive something, we reshape our thinking so that we're talking Scripture, or we're speaking biblical terms, or we're talking kingdom language, but we actually have political mindsets. We are still stuck thinking culturally, politically. We have not yet accepted God's view of things. And so to walk in the full power and weight of a life that is built on the Word of God, you have to begin by saying that God's Word is right, even when I don't agree. So how do we get there? Let's start first by looking at why is Israel so important to God? Now, Israel is not more important than other nations. However, if you don't understand how God sees Israel, spiritually, Israel has a very specific place in the mind of God, and in time, or the revelation of world events. So the best way I want you to think about it like this: Israel is the calendar of God. Israel is the calendar of God. Jerusalem is the clock. Israel is the calendar of God. Jerusalem is the clock. If you want to know what God is doing, look in the Word. If you want to know when He's doing things, look at Israel. Israel is a revelation, and always has been, of what God is doing and when. When you want to understand what God is doing in the church, when you think about spiritual advances, spiritual confrontation, or spiritual breakthrough, look at Israel. There has always been and will always be a direct divine correlation. Why? The Bible says we were grafted out and then grafted into. So what does that mean? We all came out of Adam, but we were grafted back in Abraham, in Christ. So we have to understand that if we don't understand what God is saying in Israel, we will miss what He's saying to the church. So let's look at a few things. Number one, why is Israel so important? Israel is important because God first needed to reveal to mankind that He was a God of covenant. Before Jesus could be revealed in the earth, God had to set in order a paradigm of how to think about Him. He had to reveal to us a mindset. If you approach God only in the way you already think, you will always misunderstand God. If you see Him from an American viewpoint, from an English viewpoint, from an African viewpoint, from a Caribbean viewpoint, however you see God will be the way in which you perceive and understand Him, because you will bend God. You will bend God to look like your culture. So there will be so much of Him you will never perceive or understand or be able to receive, because you will make God look like you, which is why many times when you look at art form, whenever people are painting a picture of Jesus, or they're referring to seeing Him in the Spirit, they very often refer or made Him look like their culture in the ancient art. Jesus started out looking in the oldest paintings, He looked Jewish. He was darker skinned. Some of the oldest renderings of Christ had Him looking very Jewish, very Middle Eastern. Then, as the gospel began to spread into other cultures and other nations, he became lighter and lighter skinned because as the gospel was proliferated, the people began to make an image of him that was more palatable for their culture. When he was most taken, when the gospel was taken the most by European preachers and teachers throughout the earth, then suddenly he became very fair skinned. His nose became very European and his features were lightened. When we began to go throughout Africa, we can find representations that they would call black Jesus models because he was then painted and reproduced or created in sculpture, in art, in sketchings and etchings as being darker skin. Even to the point that people in the island nations who talk about experiencing him will describe him as being Jewish, but they will often talk about him as being someone who his hair was this length and looked like this. Why? Because we often need to make God look like a culture that is similar to us so I can understand him because I've got to relate to him. I've got to have a way to see him. Now, how did God make it clear to us what he looks like? God said, I'm going to give you patterns that will reveal my nature. I'm going to give you covenants that teach my integrity. And I'm going to let you go on a journey with me through time so that you've got enough time, enough examples, enough of my history that you can look back and say, this is who God is. This is what God is like. And no one can redefine him for me, for he has made himself clear to me in the word. So how did God first reveal himself? God is talking with Adam and God begins to reveal himself to Adam. And Adam is carrying the nature of God and the name of God, but it is only reaching a few because there's only a few humans around. But we see now, by the time we get to Noah, that the whole earth is not receiving the teaching about the goodness of God. The whole earth is filled with people who go, whatever you say about God, we've never seen an Eden-like atmosphere. We've never heard the voice of God in the cool of the day. So you're telling us to keep ourselves from everything in our environment that want us to be humans without boundaries. So God shows up in the earth. He visits the earth with the flood. We now have in every major religion, there's a flood story. So for anyone listening, let's start together here. And we go from Noah, let's jump to Abraham. Abraham is now when God says, I've got to reveal myself to people so they understand me. So I have to create something called covenant. Covenant means I, the greater, swear to you, the lesser, that if you do what I'm asking, I will do what I am declaring, and we will now be in relationship. Covenant is different than a contract. A contract is something that's written down and held together by legality. A covenant is held together by life or by death. When two would make a covenant, if it was made about something strong, particular, or very valuable, if it was made concerning family or integrity or land, oftentimes the only way to break covenant back then, or if you broke covenant, it cost you your life. That's why covenants are made in blood. The blood of an animal would be spilt because what you were declaring is, before I break my oath to you, as surely as we make this covenant in blood, so my blood will be spilled before I go back on my promise to you. This is important to understand because when God shows up and he's talking to Abraham, God says, you shall become my example of God walking with a man. That's why we are called the seed of Abraham. For every man walks with God, every woman walks with God individually. Covenant is individual as well as communal. So God shows us through Abraham the beginning of what we will understand the walk with Jesus would be like. Individual relationship built on a God who has all power, making promises to a man who can do nothing for God except believe. That's why we walk by faith, not by sight, because in the covenant, you can do nothing for God because God does all things for himself. But you can fulfill your part of the covenant because the only thing he asks for is believe. If you will believe in me, as the scripture has said. So as you believe in the God who made the covenant, the God who made the covenant gives you the power to fulfill it. So it is the lesser leaning into the power of the greater based on the word that the greater gave. Abraham is walking by covenant. God says now, Abraham is showing us one day people who will become Christians. They will be the seed of Abraham. They can look back at the life of Abraham and see what covenant looks like in a man. But I have to go beyond one man in covenant. So now we have what will be called the Hebrew people, or the seed of Abraham. Before we ever get to the nation, we have a family, Isaac. From Isaac, we get a Jacob. From Jacob, we get now Joseph. From Joseph. So what do we see? We see the progression of the covenant in a family. So God makes a covenant with a man so that he can have a covenant with a family. This covenant with the family one day becomes, Jacob becomes a man who his name is changed to Israel. Israel has 12 sons. His 12 sons end up producing the nation. So the covenant with a man becomes a covenant with a family. The covenant with a family, and in that covenant with family, we see Isaac taken by Abraham like he's going to offer him. And he was going to offer him because God said, bring me your only son. But we didn't understand then, nor did he perceive that God was teaching covenant for Isaac being willing to die at the hand of his father was a revelation of the covenant that would be seen in Jesus Christ when Christ was willing to die at the hand of his father. And now we understand that just like Isaac being willing to die, his faith, along with the faith of his father, produces a Jacob, and that Jacob is the father of a nation. So it is that Jesus, yielding to the will of his father, produced something called the church. And out of the church, an entire nation of kings and priests is born. So it's the same correlation because the covenant with a man produced a covenant with a family. Jesus went to the cross because he saw many sons coming into glory. Isaac went to the altar because he understood there's something being born out of this. So the yieldedness to the will of the Father is what we see in the family. The family now give birth to a nation. So God now says, I'm going to teach the nations of the world what I look like by taking care of Israel. I will teach them what righteousness is by dealing with all unrighteousness in Israel. I will teach the nations about my power to deliver by fighting for the nation of Israel. I will teach the nations about my provision by feeding Israel in the wilderness. I will teach nations my power of dominion by conquering defense cities. Jerusalem was not even existent, but they marched around Jericho. So God gave them a Jericho before there was a Jerusalem because his covenant was with a nation. When you begin to understand the power of the covenant that God made with a nation, he made a covenant with them so that he could give the earth a history of his faithfulness, his righteousness, and his power. Because what God says to one man can only affect his family. What God does for one family can only affect a nation. But what God does for a nation affects the nations forevermore. So God begins to reveal the power of his covenant to a people. He gives them the law so that they understand there is a government beyond the governments of men. He gives them the prophets so that they understand there is a voice outside of the noise of the earth. He gives them miracles so they understand there is a system that works higher than the systems you're under. He gives them healings so that they understand they're not owned by the diseases of the world or crippled by age and time. He gives them miracles so that they understand everything degrading in this world has a higher functioning in the supernatural, so the supernatural can invade the natural at any time, and that's called a miracle. So everything God did for Israel was to teach the nations there is a greater economy, there is a greater government, there is a great God. His revelation to Israel was not just for Israel, it was for the nations. This is why he says, when any stranger or foreigner comes into your nation, O Israel, you ought to treat them kindly. For if they choose to repent of their ways and serve me and make me their God, you ought to let them marry your daughters, become part of your nation. They ought to be allowed to build homes. What we see saying, he was prophetically saying, Israel, you are a revelation of what shall one day be the kingdom of God and the church. So I am going to say to you that there are people who will join to you because they will see my covenant working. Just like one day Paul will declare, now the Gentiles have come into the kingdom through the Jews because they have seen that the God of Israel is real. When we understand that God made Israel for himself to reveal the covenant of heaven into the earth, we have to take a different mindset. Now, so many times we look at Israel and go, but all of this argument and fighting going on about Israel, regardless of what you think about Israel, we are, as believers, going to look at what Scripture says about them. So what does God say about Israel? When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces of the sacrifice. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. Genesis 15, 17 through 18. Genesis 26, 3 through 4. Stay in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, because I will give all these lands to you and to your descendants. I will fulfill the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. I will give all these lands to your descendants, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth will bless themselves. Let's go further. Genesis 35, 11 and 12. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you. Kings will come from your body. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you. And I will give this land to your descendants after you. We can't stop there. Let's look at Leviticus 26 and 44. I will not reject them when they are in the lands of their enemies. Nor will I loathe them to the point of utterly destroying them and thus break my covenant with them. So God is saying, I will not loathe the Jews. I will not forsake the Jews. I will not reject the Jews because I am the Adonai, their God. Rather, for their sakes, I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt with the nations watching so that I might be their God. I am Adonai. So I want to just touch on a few things. Number one, when we talk about why is Israel fighting over that little piece of land, why can't they just have peace with people? Because if we are truly saying we are Christians and we honor Scripture, get over your political view and recognize that as surely as you believe that God said he would heal your body, as surely as you believe that God said he would restore your family, as surely as you believe that God sent Jesus to die for your sins, then you have to believe the other promises that God declared. And God said to Israel, your land is from the river Euphrates all the way up to the river Egypt. Your land is wide and expansive. Your land that I promised to you is this land right here by the Red Sea. Israel is not even occupying the amount of land that God promised Abraham. Israel is not even occupying the amount of land that God promised to Abraham. Israel is not even sitting on the amount of acreage that God said is theirs. So for all of the people saying, why can't they just let that piece of land go? You don't understand. They're already operating on too small a biblical promise. So whether we understand it or not, God said the expanse of your border, for the sake of my covenant in the earth, for the proof that I am God of all gods, this land has to be yours. Why? Because the faithfulness of God is seen in his word. Let's go one step further. When the Most High gave each nation its heritage, when he divided the human race, he assigned the boundaries of peoples according to Israel's population, but Adonai's share was his own people, Jacob his inheritance. In other words, God said, I've given every nation territory. Every culture has a place they can call home, but Israel is mine, and I choose to give Israel this land. Isaiah 30 and 19, people in Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. At the sound of your cry, he will show you his grace. On hearing it, he will answer you. Isaiah 44, 1 through 3. Now listen, Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says Adonai, who made you, formed you in the womb and will help you. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, my blessing on your offspring. Well, if that blessed you, hear another. Isaiah 49 and 14. But Zion says, Adonai has abandoned me. Adonai has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her child at her breast, not show pity on the child from her womb? Even if these were to forget, I would not forget you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are always before me. God says, Israel, I remember you. Israel, I will give you your territory. Israel, I am with you. If Isaiah is not enough to convince you, Jeremiah 29 and 11 through 14. We quote this scripture so much, but we quote it out of context. This is what the whole passage says. For I know what plans I have in mind for you, says Adonai. Plans for well-being, not for the bad things, so that you can have hope and a future. And when you call to me and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you seek me, you will find me, provided you seek for me with all of your heart. And I will let you find me, says the Lord. Then I will reverse your exile. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have driven you. And I will bring you back to the place from which I exiled you. Now, I want you to think about that last part again. Then I will reverse your exile. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have driven you, says Adonai, and bring you back to the place from which I exiled you. Now, I understand that for many of us, trust me, even in this hour we're in today, when we look at Palestine and the Palestinian issue, and our hearts go out for so many of the dear, innocent Palestinians. But I want us to understand something. I'm just talking now to anyone who's not having a Christian foundation. This teaching, I hope it enlightens you, but this is not to necessarily persuade you. I'm talking to believers who have not been taught this from the Word. The Bible says clearly that God declared to them, his promise was, I will bring you back to the land I promised Abraham. In the time of Jeremiah, they were in Babylon under bondage. They had been run out of their land, and God says, you need to understand, there shall come a day when I will bring you back to your land, and I will put you back in the land that I promised to Abraham, and I will give you peace there. Jeremiah chapter 30 says, so don't be afraid, Jacob, my servant. So says the Lord, do not be alarmed, O Israel, for I will return you from far away and your offspring from the country of exile. Jacob will again be quiet. He will be at rest, and no one will make him afraid. For I am with you to save you, says the Lord. I will finish off all the nations where I have scattered you. Jeremiah 33 and verse 7, I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return, and I will build them up as I did at first. I will cleanse them from all their sins through which they offended me. I will pardon all their sins through which they offended and rebelled against me. Then the name of this city will bring me joy, praise, and glory before all the nations of the earth that hear about all the good I am doing for them. They will be overcome with fear and trembling at all the good and the peace that I am securing for it. God says, I'm going to make nations tremble when they see how secure I make Israel. I will cause nations to understand my authority when I give Israel joy and security. So let's talk just for a moment, just a few more minutes. When God brought Israel back to the land in 1948, after the horrors of what they went through, before they were able to get back upon their land, what they suffered in the Holocaust, what went on, what many of us don't understand, and I'm going to talk about this in the next one as I talk about the history of Israel. What many of us don't understand is that was not the first Holocaust. That was the greatest one. World War II left a deep impact. But in Russia before this time, in France before this time, in the Dark Ages before that time, we can go back to at least six major times in history where Jews were gathered and killed in numbers. That's why all throughout Europe and throughout the earth, they would always say when they would pray, next year in Jerusalem, next year. The heart cry of every Jewish person who was in the midst of diaspora, who was cast out of their lands and from their belongings, their heart cry was, God, bring us home. God's cry to them was, I promised Abraham, your father. I promised Abraham, who the Muslim nations, the Islamic nations, the Muslims, who also claim Abraham to be their father. So let's start there. So all those who claim Abraham as father, the promise made to Abraham was, I will give all these nations to Ishmael. All of the Arabic nations were given by the blessing of God. So I do not believe that the Arabic people are cursed. Let's stop that foolishness. You don't have to be a hater of Arabs to be a lover of Israel, because the blessing of Abraham was on Ishmael as well. For when Ishmael and Hagar were cast out because of the contention with Sarah and with Isaac, the angel of the Lord shows up at the well, I believe it was in Gerar, and says, oh child, weep not to Hagar. I have come for the boy. Why? He's got a covenant. He's got Abraham's blood. Heaven has to take care of him, so he shall be a great man. So the wealth of the nations, the oil, the land, the blessing, Jewish people, Arabic people, both nomadic, Jewish people, Arabic people, both of Esau and Jacob, Jewish people, Arabic people, both the seed of Abraham. From Isaac and Ishmael to Esau and Jacob, so the covenant of Abraham sits upon both. Now, no one is contending and saying that the Arabic people don't have a right to all of the lands of Esau and the blessing of Ishmael. But everyone feels free to argue that the Jewish people should stop holding on to the promise of Isaac and the blessing of Abraham. If one of the brothers has to give up the blessing, then the other should as well. But if we're not going to say that the Arabic people should give up all their oil and let the Jews come in and just sit wherever they want, then let's redefine this argument. God made a promise to the Jewish people, just like he promised to take care of Ishmael, and we have said nothing against that promise. We have no problem with it, because in our mind, that's their land. And the argument now is when the Jewish people return to the land, they displace the Palestinians. But let's be clear. Let's be clear. At the time when that took place, the Palestinian people and the nations of the world were announcing, the Jews didn't just show up with weapons, and the English and the Americans didn't show up with tanks. Word was sent and said, we know you're nomadic people. We believe all the nations have come together to agree that the Jews need a safe place. Why? They want to return to the Middle East because every time they've been in Europe, they end up being the reason or the image of blame. So they just want to come home so they can rest at night, not looking over their shoulder saying the next time the economy goes bad in England, the next time something goes wrong in France, we don't want to have to be afraid of being in Europe and in the middle of the night watching things change. And within a 12-month period of bad politics, here we are wearing signs on our arms and symbols on our doors and herded up like cattle to be killed. Can we just go home? So at the time that this was being put together, those of you that know history, go back and look. What the nations did was, and now why is this important to understand? What the nations did was they said to many of the Arabic nations, please let your Palestinian brothers come and dwell among you. There weren't 2 million then. There was but a few, I say a few, there was many thousands. But help was going to be given to help move people. And because so many were close to Egypt, Egypt said, no, they can't come here. Syria said, no, we don't want them here. Lebanon said, no. So it was not the Jews that turned it into a nightmare. It was the fact that at that time, the Arabic nation surrounding this new territory that was going to become Israel, the Arabic nations, many of them said, because we don't want these Jews here, we are asking all of the Palestinian people, stay there and fight the Jews, create contention. Why? Because if we let all these immigrants come in among us, there's nothing to fight. There's no argument. Israel shall set itself up. Here's the other thing, that at that time, the reason this argument went so well was because most of the Arabic nations were not in the midst of the oil boom. So they saw their Arabic brothers coming among them as a weight on their economy. They refused to let them come in. They made them stay and they kept them there. So the poverty in Palestine is not because of the hatred of Israel. It's because the wealthy oil nations that had not yet experienced the bloom of their wealth, they told their brothers and sisters, stay there. So years later, when the wealth exploded, they could have on 100 other occasions reached out and said, we've got well pumping in every corner. There's Arabic nations right now that at one season, every family's house was paid off. People were given free money. There was so much explosion in the economy that they're just pouring money into their own people. Now they've had to change and say to some of their people, please produce something in our own economy. Why? Because the people were becoming lazy because there was too much wealth. So if you've got that much wealth expendable, Arabic nations could have swallowed up the Palestinian people or built them colonies with excellent conditions, good hospitals, and great schools. But that was not what they wanted to do. So while we're all pointing fingers at Israel and we want Israel to feed Palestinians, it was the Arabic people over the last 50-some years. And again, I love Arab people. I have many I minister to. I love the culture. So let me shift that. It's not just the Arabic people. It was the Islamic mindset that said, we need you to stay there because we don't want Israel to have peace. And Hamas, when it was founded with the mindset to push Israel into the sea and to obliterate them. So we must understand from the mindset of the Lord, The covenant of God is, I promised Abraham land. I promised the nation of Israel a place. I must keep my word to them. Let me say this just to end this section, because we'll teach more in the next one. Only two nations in the history of the earth have been divinely created for purpose. Every other nation is by boundaries, culture, warfare, and they exist. They either fought to increase the nation, or in war they lost part of the nation. They were either built based on their own culture, or they were built based on boundaries. The mountain is here, the rivers are here, the ocean is here. This is the boundary of our nation. The first nation that was built supernaturally was Israel. God pulled out a man who built a family who became a nation. And God made a promise to them and created culture with them, sent prophets to them, and he has protected them. Over and over and over, the nations of the earth can see the power of God because Israel has been through wars, tragedies, triumphs, attacks, but they are still standing. That is the proof that the God of Israel is keeping covenant with Israel. But the second nation that was divinely created was America. Though many of those at its inception did things that were deplorable and despicable, the things that were done to the Native American people or the mindset of colonialism, it was out of order. And some things that were done were unrighteous. But let's back up. Many of those who came to America came because they were looking for a place to worship God freely. So while so many people are talking about every one of our presidents was a Christian, I don't need to paint everybody as a Christian to understand divine purpose. It was a divine purpose of God to create a nation that he was going to bring together all the nations of the earth to call America home. Why did he divinely create us? To protect Israel. Israel was created to reveal covenant, the old covenant. America was created to stand with Israel, and America was created to reveal the new covenant. So out of America, so much of the gospel was sent to the earth. So many of the ministries that have transformed the world and brought health and healing and the gospel. Yes, the nation or the government of America has done a lot that it shouldn't have done. That's a different thing to talk about. But the kingdom of God in America has led hundreds of millions of people to Christ, released missionaries in times of need, built aid organizations that lifted burdens, sent people to help in times of crisis, sent soldiers to redirect the pain of a war and try to bring people into freedom, and write laws that other nations have reproduced to try to let democracy go around the world. Two nations were divinely created, Israel and America. And as long as we stand together, we stand under the power of the covenant. If we forget that we have a purpose in our existence, and part of that purpose is to stand with Israel. As I teach more, we will cover more things and we will dig deeper into the covenants of God, blessings that rest upon the nations, and what is God saying in this hour. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, and may the Lord turn your heart to understand. Israel is not your problem. Israel is not a problem. Israel was already written in the Word. Be blessed in Jesus' name.
This has been Prophetic Edge with Michael Dalton. If this episode has blessed you, please consider sharing it with someone. For more information, ministry dates, and to sow into the ministry, please visit yes-ministries.com.